This is NSC Backstage. Weekly reactions from the last outing, match previews, and more.
Taylor Washington scores!
Scheffelberg!
Look out, Eastern Conference. The boys in gold are back.
Straight from the source, Nashville SC head coach Gary Smith and NSC players tell the story.
Who else but the MVP, Hani Mukhtar?
On your home for Nashville Soccer Club, 104.5 The Zone.
It doesn't get better than that.
Two difficult weeks for Nashville SC, but big opportunities are on the horizon as the boys in gold hit the road again. It's Nashville and Orlando coming up on Saturday. Tons to discuss on a brand new episode of NSC Backstage. Great to be with you. My name is Will Bowling. Pleasure to be here on 104.5 The Zone every single Wednesday night. And joining me, as always, as he does every time the boys in gold take the field, longtime MLS defender Jahlil Anibaba. What's going on, Jahlil? Great to be with you tonight, man.
Let's get it, my bro. It's always good to link up, and it's always exciting when we're preparing for another call on the match, and always exciting to talk about the boys in gold and everything that's been going on. So just a pleasure to be here with you, my brother, like always, and let's get into it.
We've got a great show ready for you coming up tonight. Nashville SC center back Jack Mayer will stop by. Get his thoughts on a transition into a brand new role within this defense, a defense that still leads the Eastern Conference with only two goals conceded in the 2023 campaign. MLS season pass broadcaster Chris Whittingham, he will be on the play-by-play call this Saturday night as the boys in gold travel to the Sunshine State. We'll catch up with him and preview this weekend's matchup as well. But first, Jahlil, we get to Saturday's defeat at Geodis Park, the first home defeat of the season for Nashville SC, who created a lot of chances in the first half, but ultimately fall 1-0 to FC Cincinnati. A Brandon Vasquez goal ended up being the difference. And as you look back at this game and what Nashville was able to do well, what they weren't able to do in the attack to find that breakthrough late in this one, what stands out to you the most from Cincinnati's win here in the Music City on Saturday?
I think the first thing that I have to say is that it was a fair result. I think that the way that Cincinnati was able to come into Geodis Park and kind of drown out the noise, quite literally, and perform at a high level, they deserved the 3 points. That is also to say that the boys in gold did do some things that I liked and that quite frankly impressed me. I liked to see Teal Bunbury and CJ Sapong up top there for the last maybe 15 to 20 minutes of the match. Maybe that's something to explore. I also liked the fact that Fafa Picot had a strong game, in my opinion. And one of the biggest things for me was that Galoy is back healthy, and we got to see him toward the end of the match. And just in general, being a part of this league for over a decade, what you have to be able to do mentally and from a philosophical standpoint as a club is to be able to just keep things steady and really put things into perspective quickly. And I think that's the point in the season, or in terms of what is happening right now with the boys in gold, that's the task, is to just make sure that their leadership in the locker room, which they have plenty of, continues to do what they do best, and that is making sure that everybody is just dialed in on putting one foot in front of the other and just continuing to perform, because two tough results doesn't have implications on the season, as crazy as that may sound. It's just a matter of continuing to chip away at it all.
Nashville created more chances throughout the evening. They outshot FC Cincinnati 17-15. They had 11 more touches in Cincinnati's box than what Cincinnati had in the Nashville box. And the boys in gold with 17 shots in this game, their highest total of the season. You mentioned Anibal Godoy making his first appearance following an upper body injury that he suffered in match day one in the win over NYCFC. This team is banged up to start the season. Randall Leal with the knock that he's been out with since match day one as well. A big-time boost to get Anibal Godoy back. How can he change the setup of this team moving forward and add to that midfield depth alongside Dax McCarty and with Sean Davis?
Yeah, I think one of the major assets that NSC possesses and and that Gary Smith has to his disposal is the midfield depth and the leadership there. And you have a lot of midfielders that have similar qualities, but they're all different. Sean Davis is slightly different from Dax McCarty. Dax McCarty is slightly different from Galoy. Galoy is slightly different from Anunga. Anunga is slightly different from Jan Gregoosh. And I think with Galoy coming in, or back in, we should say, and being healthy, I think possession and an ability to get on the ball and to really dictate the flow is what he brings. He always wants the ball at his feet, and that really can calm the game down when it gets hectic and crazy. That's not to say that the other midfielders don't possess those qualities, but that is his superpower, if you will. And as far as, you know, that Boys in Gold out categorizing, you could say, FC Cincinnati, again, you have to give FC Cincinnati credit, but at the end of the day, it was a 1-0 result, not much in it, and still a lot of bright spots as far as what to look for the Boys in Gold as they head down to Orlando.
First start of the season for CJ Sapong leading the line. Had a slight knock in preseason that allowed Teal Bunbury to have a run in the team to begin the new year. Gary Smith likes the competition he has among those two guys. Wanted to get CJ back in the mix, and his chemistry with Hani Mukhtar well documented. What did you see out of CJ specifically as he gets his run in the team now from the start?
Yeah, first I'll just echo your sentiments on the fact that competition is key. You said, Coach Gary Smith said it, and you're echoing those sentiments, and it's absolutely true. It makes players better throughout the weeks of training. It keeps them on edge, and that is where top performers are at their best, when they're challenged week in and week out. And the competition between CJ Sapong and Teal Bunbury is only going to make this club better. What I saw from CJ Sapong is his hold up play was efficient. I thought he was able to run the channels efficiently. And, you know, he and Hani Mukhtar, they have an effortless connection, although it didn't result in a goal, but he was able to be the kind of linking factor between a decent amount of the chances created for the Boys in Gold on this past Saturday.
As we start to kind of wrap up our Cincinnati portion of the show today, Cincinnati deserves a lot of credit for what they were able to do in this game. Joe Willis really had a great, great 90 minutes. Gary Smith mentioning afterwards that he thought the scoreline could have been worse had it not been for the efforts of Joe Willis denying a number of high-danger FC Cincinnati chances. Just what did you see from Cincinnati? How impressed are you with them as they continue their hot start to the season?
Yeah, I agree with the fact that the scoreline could have been, more heavy in FC Cincinnati's favor if it wasn't for Joe Willis. But the same could be said for Celentano, right, and the Boys in Gold. He was excellent as well. What I really saw from Pat Noonan's squad and FC Cincinnati was that they were able to capitalize on a slow start out of the locker room in the beginning of the second half. They nicked a goal. They grew further into the game in the second half. But it was the way that they closed out the match. The subs that Pat Noonan was able to make to close it out, to not just sit back and absorb pressure. They managed possession very well. That prevented the Boys in Gold from coming back, because their opportunities, the Boys in Gold, they looked close to equalizing and then even finding a second. But for me, it was the way that they closed out the match. That's not easy to do, and what most clubs practice week in and week out to get right.
So after a second straight defeat, how does Nashville SC change the conversation this weekend in the Sunshine State? We'll ask Nashville SC center back Jack Mayer exactly that as we learn more about his transition to the left side of the back line alongside Walker Zimmerman, Dan Lovitz, and Shaq Moore. We talk with Nashville SC's original MLS Super Draft pick on the other side. Jack Mayer joins us on NSC Backstage. This is 104.5 The Zone.
Searching HVAC near here.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Wow, nobody local? Huh.
Wait, what? We are an HVAC company literally in your neighborhood. Why is she not seeing us?
Just all the big chains. Well, it is what it is.
What in the... Can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local HVAC providers. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Back with you here on NSC Backstage. It's 104.5 The Zone with Jahleel and Ibaba. I'm Will Bowling. Pleased to be joined today as we continue on this evening by Nashville SC defender Jack Mayer, kind enough to give us a couple of minutes. Jack, thanks so much for doing this, man. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. And I know it's not the result you guys wanted over the weekend, but what has the conversation been like for you guys at training, a back line that we'll get into that I know is playing with a lot of confidence right now? What's this week been like as you guys get ready for a trip to Orlando?
Yeah, I definitely think that the last couple results have been very difficult for us. And it's one of those things that this is our fourth year now in the league. We've had ups, we've had downs, and we've had a group that's made the playoffs the past couple of years. So it's a long season. We got to put that into perspective. And I think with an older veteran group that we have, that's honestly been one of our strengths. We don't really like to ride that roller coaster, go up and down, up and down. We like to kind of stay even keel. And I think that's been a big part of our success over the first 4 years.
And how much confidence are you guys playing with as a defensive group, joint with Seattle at the top of the league of least amount of goals conceded this year? Just what has that been like for you working with Dan, with Shaq, with Walker, and the rest of those guys on the back line this year?
Yeah, I think we're extremely confident. I think that it sort of makes my job easy whenever I have guys like Walker, like Dan, like Shaq around me, because they're some of the best at their positions in the whole entire league. And so being able to just compliment them and do whatever I sort of can to continue to help make them better, and along the way take in as much information as I can, just try and be that sponge and really adapt with whatever Gary's wanting to throw at us. And I think that's sort of been our feeling so far. But I think a lot of it goes back to, as a defensive group, we're really good, and we have been really good for a while now. I think the next step for us is, how can we get the ball to Hani and our dangerous players in areas that we can be successful? Because just like defending, it's 11 men team that's defending, and we got to look at it the same whenever it's 11 man team attacking too. So we're a team through and through. It's not just our back line. I'd be beating myself up a little bit if I didn't say that it wasn't because of the other guys on the field, not necessarily just our back line.
Yeah. And I think, Jack, just to really kind of continue on that theme, you know, in terms of the back line helping you individually to grow, you have veteran players all around you. I remember when I was in a very similar situation as a young center back in Chicago, a lot of it is taking on advice, but at the end of the day, you are here in this position because of what you do and what you bring to the team. So just speak to how you've been able to find your own identity and how you've been able to kind of guard your own boundaries in terms of, okay, I've heard everything you guys have to say, but now let me do my thing. So how have you really been able to come into your own and bring your personality to life on the pitch?
Yeah, I think that's so true, Jahleel. And I think a big part about that is, for these first three and a little bit of years, I've just sort of been taking all this information in and trying to be the best sponge that I can be. And something that I've sort of needed to flip a switch is, now I've taken in a lot of this information, and now I have to filter it into stuff that is really relevant to my game and how I play. Because I don't play the same style that Walker does. I'm not the same type of center back. And I think it's a good compliment that we are a little bit different. But now, pretty similar to what you were saying, I think it's not only taking it in and being that sponge, but filtering out what I need to sort of help the team whatever way I can, but really bring out qualities that have made me successful.
I think that's very well said. And one of the things that people who know you well, like myself, know is that you're very humble. You're definitely a student of the game, but you're very confident in yourself as well. And that confidence, especially as a professional athlete, leads to goals. So can you just speak to some of the goals that you're comfortable sharing that you've set for yourself, and also speak to the objectives of your kind of inner fortitude that you've set for yourself in terms of achieving those goals?
Yeah, I think something that I've sort of set out for myself, and it's not just like a one-year goal. This has been something that I've really set my eye on and for a little while now, is hopefully one day being a part of the national team. And that's something that might seem like it's so far away, but you know what? If you work each and every day and if you continue to put in all the work, I'm playing next to guys that are on the national team. And it sort of inspires me and it keeps me level-headed through the process of one day trying to get there. And another goal that I got this year, and I think a lot of the guys in the locker room do as well, is I believe that this year we should be winning a trophy. And it's something that we've continued to work really hard on. We've put ourselves in good situations in the past, but we really haven't been able to execute at that final moment. And so this is our fourth year now, and we're as confident as ever in getting a trophy and bringing one home to Nashville.
And quite honestly, personally, I'm extremely confident in you in terms of whatever goals that you set for yourself. You're in an environment that you can flourish. We've spoken about this for years on end. And it's really a joy to see you continue to grow as not only a footballer, but as a man. So continue to set those sights high and just keep striving for them. I would say to take things in kind of a little bit of a different flavor to it. Tell us something about you that we don't know. Because everybody knows now in Nashville, the Jack Mayer, the young center back who is a baller. But tell us something that I don't know about you, Will doesn't know about you, and the fans don't know about you.
What a question, Ja. You would be asking questions like this, you know? I'm a big motivational speaker guy. Like, I love listening to, like, the best motivational speeches out there, whether it's, like, Les Brown, Eric Thomas, Jim Rohn, Inky Johnson. These guys, I love listening to them, and I love hearing their stories because it's just motivating, and I get inspired by that, and it just allows me to one day want to be the best version of myself. And so that's one nice little tidbit. I'm a big motivational speaker guy. I love that stuff.
Okay, so Jack, then my follow-up to that is, who is the best motivational speaker in the Nashville SC locker room right now? I'm putting you on the spot here to pick
that's
a favorite
tough.
Or two.
It's got to be Dax. Okay. I mean, he has the charisma, he's got the character, and he's seen it all. Dax has been around the block. And so he's been just someone that's been there, done that. And just whenever you're in that pregame huddle with Dax, and he's really saying something, you believe every single word he says, and it gets you fired up, because if he believes it, you know what? I believe it as well. And that's one of the things that I think Dax has done so well, and he's such an amazing leader and player as well. So definitely Dax for me.
You mentioned the national team, and you mentioned playing with Walker Zimmerman. I imagine it's got to be such a luxury to have that guy to follow around and to learn from since you came into this league. What's the biggest thing you feel like you've learned from him in just spending time with him and getting to play with a guy who's the club captain, but also has been a national team captain for the United States?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, it is such a big luxury to be playing next to Walker. He's the best center back in the country and the league. And being able to play like a guy like that really brings out the best of you. It's one of those things. I just had a conversation the other day with Gary that was playing next to guys like Walker, playing next to guys like Hani. One of the things that doesn't get brought up enough is how they make the players around them better. And you can see all the goals, highlights that Hani has, what Walker does, but our team as a whole plays better whenever you have guys like that executing at such a high level. So that's something that I don't necessarily think gets brought up enough. And something that I learned from Walker is just all the off the field stuff. Being a consummate professional, whether it's watching game film, whether it's preparing your body in the best possible way, always being focused, always being on time. And it's a lot of those little things that, you don't think necessarily correlate to the game, but they really do. Always being focused, always being prepared. I think that that's sort of the big thing that has allowed me to sort of learn consistency as a whole. And that's been something, whether it's Jaleel that's played, how many games you played, Jaleel? Over 200, 200 and what, 50, something like that. I've been learning it from guys like that for a long time now. Go ahead, Jah.
No, I was going to say, I don't know, something around there, a number that you can definitely surpass if you keep this up.
I appreciate it. But it's just been surrounding myself with guys like that, like Jaleel, Dave, Walker, and just taking every little thing that I can from them and learning and making it my own.
Yeah, I think to that point, in terms of one of the things that was definitely present when I was in the locker room, and I definitely know that it's still present, is how much the club, in terms of the locker room, values mentorship and really paying it forward. So the main thing, the main theme for you is coming out of being just like a young player and almost being a young veteran, because when you have minutes, that surpasses age, and you have the minutes and you have experience now. So what are some of the things that you want to give back to some of the younger guys? Because now you have a lot of players that are coming into this team. We also have Huntsville City FC. There are going to be players that are coming up and training with the first team on a more regular basis. What are some of the ways that you want to help those younger players and you come in and be successful right off the gates?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, especially for young guys, because I think that they have just this habit of doing it, is they ride the roller coaster. They get high with their highs and they get low with their lows. And so whether it's a Huntsville guy or some other guys that have been here for a little bit and still developing and getting better, it's showing up every single day, working as hard as you can and not letting your highs get too high and not letting your lows get too low. Because as you know, working with Gary, it's got to be even keel with just about everything. You got to be consistent. And you got to show the other players that that they can have that sort of trust in you. And I think that's just some of the big things. And we have a lot of guys that are young, up and coming, bright, and I just can't wait for them to get to showcase all the stuff that they have.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. The talent is thick and thin here now with the first team and with Huntsville City FC. I think a lot of what we speak about, especially in the soccer landscape and the MLS landscape specifically, is the different journeys that players take to get to the MLS. And there really isn't a one-size-fits-all model that makes a successful MLS player. But for you, and one thing that you and I share, is that we came through the college ranks. So what do you think specifically about your college experience and just maybe your whole youth journey specifically allowed you to be as successful as you are now?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, it has to be the coaches that I was lucky enough to have in my life. One guy that I was with for so long, his name's Blake Decker, coached me for honestly forever. And honestly, in the St. Louis Scott Gallagher system, I was able to develop, grow. We had a USL team at the time that I was fortunate enough to play with growing up. And then, as you said, going to college, staying for three semesters, having Coach Yeagley. Honestly, I've been really fortunate, because at whatever stage in my career, I've been surrounded by people that have always made me better. Whether it's my teammates, whether it's my coaching staff, they've always pushed me to get the most out of me. And sometimes whenever you don't believe in yourself, having people that do believe in you goes so far, because it was tough. Like, there were ups and downs in my career whenever I was 17, 18, 19. I would train with some of the first team guys, first St. Louis's USL team, STLFC. And I remember going to practices like, right now, I would go to USL practices. Right now, I'm the worst player on the field. But I had to do that for like a year and continue to push through it, have the fortitude to just keep going, keep showing up. And I'm so glad that I went through those hard times because it's made me a better professional today.
Jack, this has been great stuff, man. And kind of as we begin to wrap up for this weekend against Orlando, it feels like you guys have had a lot of these maybe kind of rivalry feel games, right, over these past couple of weeks with Cincinnati, with Atlanta and NYC on the horizon. In Orlando, a team you guys know really well on Saturday. What's the most difficult challenge about playing this team? What do you guys need to do in order to get a good result this weekend?
Yeah, I think that this team is incredibly good. They play a lot of combinations in the middle. They have a very capable front three. And honestly, they have some really good center backs as well. They have a lot of really good players and they've been successful for quite some time. And I honestly think the last time we played against them, if I'm not mistaken, was in a playoff game in Nissan. And we ended up getting the better of them. So I'm sure that there's going to be a bit of, did we play them in Open Cup?
Yeah, Open Cup and the
playoff
game
Open
the
Cup,
last two. Yeah.
Ridiculous. Open Cup and then the playoffs now. Yeah, we think we should have honestly had that one in the Open Cup. So we got a lot of history with this team, and they're always a tough game for us, but I'm fairly certain that the rest of the locker room is really motivated for this one, and especially coming off a couple tough results, I know we'll be ready to go.
Jack Mayer has been our guest tonight here on NSC Backstage. Jack, continued health and success to you the rest of the season, man. Thank you so much for the time, and go get them on Saturday.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys. Appreciate it.
So great stuff there with Nashville SC center back Jack Mayer. And Jahlil, you mentioned it in talking with him. You've played that role. You've been that guy for a Gary Smith coached team. Jack Mayer making it look easy to move from the right side to the left side as well, playing beside Walker Zimmerman. No small feat, and he's handled it really well this year.
And it's just really nice to see Jack grow into the role that he's really starting to take hold of. And you know, it's interesting in our like center back union, if you will, when it was pretty much myself, Jack, Dave Romney, and Walker. And, you know, just the bond that you build with the guys that play the same position as you. And what I always loved about Jack and continue to love to this day is, of course, his humble nature, but he's a student of the game. And, you know, he comes off super, you know, I just want to learn and do, and that is all genuine, but he has a confidence about himself when he steps on the field, and his ability to be able to hit balls with his right foot, left foot, is something that is really going to continue to carry him. And just, you know, Jack's my guy. I really like him a lot, and I'm just really happy for him.
The milkman has been delivering this year. There's no doubt. Young Jack Mayer growing into a man before our very eyes. In this Nashville SC team. Well, Jahlil, we've got to take a look at Orlando now because, as Jack mentioned, this team doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low after a couple of difficult weeks. And it is always difficult going to Orlando, a team coming off of a big-time win over a shorthanded Philadelphia Union side over the weekend. But if you go to Philadelphia and win, you are doing something right. And they broke the Union's 24-match unbeaten run at home with a 2-1 win over the weekend. Two goals within the first 8.5 minutes in this one, Jahlil. What is the thing that stands out to you the most about this version of Orlando City?
Well, the first thing I'll say is about their fixture last week. This is one of the things about the league that I just love so much. It's that no game, no result is promised, and anyone can go into any arena and either drop points or pick up points, whether it's on the road, whether you know, you're playing at home, and that keeps teams as they prepare and most certainly players on high alert. It makes MLS stressful as it can be when you're playing. I know firsthand, but it definitely makes for exciting football from a fan and I think a broadcasting perspective as well. What I like about this Orlando team is their multitude of attacking options now. I feel like in years past they've been a little bit more one-dimensional, and that can kind of make it a little bit easier to plan for them in years past. But now they have so many options up front, and they're up front and through their midfield, which really makes them difficult to prepare for. And like we're just touching on, they are, you know, a confident side right now, and it's always very, very difficult to go into Orlando and come home with points.
Yeah, they resume a rivalry after, of course, Nashville was in the Western Conference a season ago. The two teams met seven times in Nashville's first 2 years in MLS. Of course, the U.S. Open Cup, they meet last year. Orlando gets the better of Nashville in penalties. But the last time these two teams played in MLS competition, I guess I would count MLS Cup in that as well. Nashville got the best of the Lions in a 3-1 win back in 2021. Orlando's still looking for a little bit of revenge after that game.
Absolutely. And I think you said it perfectly there and framed it up perfectly. These matches they seem like rivalry games just based on the history between the two clubs. And, you know, when I was playing for the squad in 2021 and 2020, we had some exciting, crazy games. There's one with where Hani subbed on and I think the last like 5 to 10 minutes of the match and scored two goals late down there in Orlando. I think that was late 2020. And then you hit the nail on the head with the 2021. We were able to eliminate them out of the playoffs, and that never sits well with any club. And then, you know, they got the better of the Boys in Gold last season in Open Cup. So I think these two clubs are always playing against each other with high implications. And it's, although we're early in the season, you know, Orlando's coming off of, you know, runs against Tigres, obviously the match against Philadelphia there, where they're playing at a very high level, even in week six, and the Boys in Gold are looking for points.
Well, coming up next, we'll continue our preview of Nashville SC and Orlando City with MLS season pass commentator Chris Whittingham. He'll join us, and he is seeing Nashville SC for the third time in the last 4 weeks coming up on the television call this weekend. He'll share his insight on Orlando City, what surprised him from seeing Nashville SC in games against New England and Montreal the past couple of weeks as we finish up next on NSC Backstage.
Searching HVAC near here.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Wow, nobody local? Huh.
Wait, what? We are an HVAC company literally in your neighborhood. Why is she not seeing us?
Just all the big chains. Well, it is what it is.
What in the... Can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local HVAC providers. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Continuing tonight for one final segment on NSC Backstage. This is 104.5 The Zone, back with Jaleel Anibaba. I'm Will Bowling, and we are pleased to be joined by the man who will be on the call Saturday night in Orlando as the Boys in Gold visit Orlando City. MLS season pass commentator Chris Whittingham giving us a couple of minutes here tonight. What's going on, Chris? How are you?
Doing all right, Will and Jaleel. How's it going?
We're great, and we are hoping you can bring us a little bit better luck than the last time you saw this Nashville team. I know you were on the call against New England. Can you promise us a little bit better fortune this time on the broadcast?
50-50 returns for me on the call. I did the Montreal game. That was a win. Did the New England game. That was a defeat. So I hope for your sake that it's 66.7% by the end of the weekend.
Absolutely. Well, what intrigues you the most about this specific matchup? Anytime you're able to win at Philadelphia, it raises eyebrows across the league, like Orlando was able to do. Nashville reeling a bit with two straight losses. Where do you begin to evaluate this matchup?
Well, I think with Orlando, they're coming off of a very significant week in their club's history, really, when you mentioned that not only the win in Philadelphia, but also the result that they got against Tigres at home in the Champions League. I know they didn't go through, but in some ways, you come out of that game thinking, this is, for me, the gold standard of this part of the world. Tigres are the team that, in terms of money spent, in terms of trophies won, in terms of what they've achieved in the last 10 to 12 years in Mexican soccer, that is one of the very best teams in this part of the world. So for me, to come out of that with such a good result, you were so nearly there in terms of going through against them, then you win against Philly away from home, all of a sudden you're thinking, wow, we can put together a legitimate challenge. This is a team that's coming together. So I think Orlando are starting to find their stride. I still think there are things of aspects of their team that they're attempting to figure out in terms of bringing in a whole new group of DPs, whole new group of young players, bedding it in with an older core. So how does that come together? But in terms of, from my standpoint, it's where are the goals going to come from for either team, really, because Orlando, they did find Thuriván Angulo at the weekend, as well as some of their other younger players and their newer players, but ultimately they don't have that out-and-out striker that they get their goals from, and the same goes for Nashville. I think in these last two games, the thing you've seen is just an absence of goal scoring. They're brilliant defensively, but from a goal scoring standpoint, without Hany Mukhtar hitting for double digits just yet, is he going to find his form? But it's really about finding that goal scoring form.
Yeah, and I really like how you analyze both the teams. I think you're spot on. I agree with you. And I think this is going to be an exciting match. Being a part of matchups, between Nashville and Orlando, they're always exciting, crazy. And I don't expect anything less for this one. I think for you, what do you think the advantages Orlando poses, obviously playing at home with this match?
Well, the heat is already being dialed up. I saw on Saturday the afternoon temperatures will be about 90 degrees. So not that Nashville are any strangers to heat, but not quite yet in this point in the calendar. So it's going to be hot, although I imagine it'll kind of dip down towards the evening time. I'll be curious kind of how conditions and atmospherics play a role. But from an Orlando advantage standpoint, I think it is the fact that they're playing at home. I think they're sort of very understanding of who they are as a team. I think that really is an aspect of both of these teams. I think Orlando and Nashville have very defined identities. I think Orlando like to come out early and try and create chances, get a goal, and then hold it down. And I'll be kind of curious how they deal with Nashville's desire to play on the counterattack and try and make sure that they're solid from a defensive point of view. I think the play of Mauricio Pereira is really important to them, either in this past weekend and in a more advanced role than we're used to seeing him, or kind of under normal circumstances as a deep-lying playmaker. He could really kind of pull apart Nashville with his passing. So for me, I think he's a key player. And then ultimately, who of the new attackers that they have? They have Angulo, they have Ojeda, they have Urchancada, who could play Duncan McGuire, a college draft pick. They have all these options in attacking areas. Who is ultimately going to be the player or two that stands out? They have a couple of internationals returning from international duty. Facundo Torres certainly can play a role, but I think it's who in that attack stands out and is on the receiving end of those passes from Pereira.
Yeah, I would agree with you in terms of Orlando is really showing promise, especially in their attack. But we're in this phase of the season where all teams are really trying to gel, unless you're talking about St. Louis or something like that. It's all about really who is going to emerge as really the star for, I think, both teams, not just Orlando, but Nashville as well. But I want to kind of take it in a different area for you. You as a broadcaster and being one that I admire very much, what do you love about being a broadcaster? One. Two, how do you describe your style? And what do you try to do that is unique and specifically, your own kind of mark or footprint that you like to put on each and every game that you call?
So to answer your first question, I absolutely love calling games. This is sort of, I've had the opportunity in my young broadcasting career to kind of sample a bunch of different things. I've worked in radio, what you guys are doing right now, and podcasting and TV and in online content and all that stuff. And I just love getting into a broadcast booth. It makes me happy. And I've loved this experience. It's my first time really getting to travel around the country and see all the different stadiums and kind of experience the atmospheres. I've been to New England. I've been to Nashville so far. I was just in San Jose this past week, and I'll be in Orlando. And hopefully by the end of the year, I'll have been to most of the places in Major League Soccer. And I think that's a really unique part of the experience. In terms of how I go about doing the job, I think in terms of a unique aspect, it would be a melting pot of different influences. I think that's kind of the unique nature of working in the American game is I'm a huge Premier League fan, so I love watching all the commentators in the UK and how they use language and how kind of they have defined, I would say, the way in which most countries in the world talk about this sport. But also, I'm Hispanic myself, I'm Colombian, so I like to make sure I say all the Hispanic names correctly and you try and throw some flair on things. And then I think Americans have a ton to offer to the game as well. So for me, it's sort of the combining of all of the elements that I've experienced in my time as a soccer fan, as a soccer broadcaster. I mean, I've worked in, you know, South American soccer. I did League MX for a while. I, you know, worked to be in sports where there's a heavy European influence there. So I think it's just about combining everything into my own style. And even as someone who works as a professional in the game, I'm still kind of honing it and crafting it to make sure that it is my own and I'm not copying anybody else or kind of doing it my own way.
And out of all of those broadcast teams, you've had to have the burden of working with our guy Jamie Watson and trying to put up with that guy who we know very well here in Nashville too.
Right? No, Jamie's the best. I love him, and we had a great time. I actually my first game on Apple was that Nashville Montreal game, and we were together, and it was a really cool experience because it was sort of one less thing off my back, which is I've never been to Geodis Park before. So he's just, oh yeah, that's there, and that's there, and that's there, and this is so-and-so, and this is the person who runs the event here, and this is the person who does this. And so I was basically along a guided tour of Geodis Park with our good friend Jamie Watson.
Well, but before I get back to Orlando real quick, did you get to try the empanadas in Geodis Park is the most important question.
No, I did not. Although, to be fair, the media sampling that night was like a fajita bar. Yeah. That was delicious. So if these empanadas are anything like that, I've heard from other people as well. I think Drake Hills of the Tennessean has also talked about the empanadas there. Next time I go, I don't know where they are in the stadium, but I will find them and I will house one.
We got you. We are happy to be another tour guide in addition to Jamie the next time you're here in the Music City. Chris, I know being in the Florida area, just in Miami, I know you've had a front row seat to watch the way this Orlando City team has evolved over the years. And Nashville fans know very intimately what they were able to do in U.S. Open Cup last year since they put this Nashville team out in a dramatic penalty shootout, dramatic game down there in Orlando. How impressed have you been just with the way they've been able to balance the crazy roster turnover they've had with Perea kind of being the constant in that, but still have an identity that they've really picked players to? And you mentioned a lot of the new signings they made for this year.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that front six is almost unrecognizable from who they were 2 years ago. New ownership has come in and kind of said, you guys can go spend now. Go get some new DPs. Fill every single under 22 initiative spot with a player on a $3 or $4 million transfer fee. And let's, you know, make sure that we're dedicating all the resources that we have to. I've been really impressed with them just because if you go back to their start in Major League Soccer, they were kind of on a Cincinnati kind of track in terms of, you know, 4 and 5 years of multiple models of trying to build out a team, of moving into a new stadium and just not being able to have any success. And I'm actually kind of, you know, jealous of a club like St. Louis in terms of the on-ramp that they have into the league. The fans in St. Louis will never forget how this season has started, and you're building returning fans with each win, with each kind of day that St. Louis builds on hype. And there are some expansion teams that have struggled out of the gate. I'm in Miami. Miami lost their first 5 games as a club. Orlando struggled for several seasons. They were close in that first season to making the playoffs, but with just a turnover in models, a turnover in players and coaches, they weren't really able to build any kind of consistency. And now that they have built it, I've been really impressed with how they kind of saw the need to regenerate, that the last team, despite they won a trophy. You'd figure that those guys would all come back and they'd go for, you know, a run of defending their Open Cup and trying to kick on in the playoffs, but they kind of realized they needed to take another step forward, and so they brought in a bunch of players that, frankly, you know, one of the things about MLS is you bring in players, you don't really know how they're going to translate from performing well in Argentina or performing well in Uruguay or in other places, and yet Orlando trusts their process, and I think this year is a really definitive year for how that overall structure works there, because they brought in a lot of new players and are trying to figure it out here in this season, and maybe by the end of it, they'll be a really strong, defined team.
Yeah, and you spoke to basically the identity of Orlando and how that's morphed over time, especially under Oscar Pareja, and then also, you know, kind of their ability to go out and spend and to kind of make the not only the locker room, but of course the roster exactly how they want it to be. For me, if we flip over to the Nashville side, for me, what has been the number one question in my mind going into this season is who is going to be that next emerging star alongside of Hany Mukhtar and then the likes of the veteran leadership that they have. For you, who do you see in that Nashville squad who could potentially be that next emerging star and why?
I think the obvious one from this early season so far would have to be Jacob Schaffelberg. Having saw him score the goal against Montreal, scoring in two of the first three games of the season, I really liked him back when he was in Toronto, just as a player where he would come on and be like, how come he doesn't play more? And I think that's one of the reasons why he went to Nashville. But I think outside of that, frankly, Gary Smith trusts the veteran players, and I think there is certainly a need up front. I think figuring out the situation on Ake Loba is imperative come the summertime. Hopefully after his loan move with Mazatlan, he'll be able to be available to either be moved or can come back and play a bigger role in the team. But there's got to be somebody up front that sort of defines center forward, or CJ Sapong or Teal Bumber are going to have to step up. And in terms of the young players that are coming through, it would really only have to be Schaffelberg with what we've seen so far. It's a veteran team. I think it's one of the older teams in the league in terms of average age of its starting lineup. And I think you look at Schaffelberg, he's played really well. He brings a different dynamic in that wide area. And I think he's going to have to be a player who gets to 8 to 10 goals if Nashville are going to really kick on from where they are right now, because it's got to come from somewhere, whether it's Pico, who was a good goal scorer in Houston, one of the center forwards takes a step forward, but really it's got to be one of those three guys, because you don't really look towards Godoy or Davis or Dax McCarty to be prolific goal scorers. You can get a few from center backs on set pieces, but that's not something you really rely upon. The fullbacks don't really get forward enough into threatening positions. So you've really got to look to one of those two wide players, the center forward, or just Hany Mukhtar having another all-world season if you're going to get to 50-55 goals, which you need to over the course of an MLS season.
I agree with you that Schaffelberg is a promising player. I liked him as well a lot when he was in Toronto, and you know, happy that he's really flourishing with Nashville, because I know how it is personally when you're in one situation, then you move to another one and it completely changes your just kind of state of mind. And you can tell that he's playing very freely. Last one for me. What are you looking forward to most in terms of calling this game? And what do you love about this matchup? Because I could go on and on about this one, to be honest.
So for me, actually, is a bit of an odd one, but I'm really interested in the goalkeeping in this game. Because I think Joe Willis is coming off of a really strong performance, albeit in the defeat against Cincinnati. I think he's generally had a very good season. And Pedro Galeza has probably been the most box office goalkeeper so far this season from an Orlando standpoint. It might not reflect in clean sheets, but it does reflect in the massive saves that he's made. You go back to that Champions League tie against Tigres, he was influential in both legs. And it just feels like every weekend, you're scrolling through your social media, and MLS has put up a highlight of a big save from Pedro Galeza, just returning from international duty with Peru. There was a situation with him and some fans and the police there in Spain when he was traveling. But hopefully we get to see him on Saturday, and hopefully he puts on a show, because I think both goalkeepers can really make this interesting. I know it might lead to a low-scoring game, but it could still be plenty entertaining if those two really put on a show.
Chris Whittingham has been our guest here on NSC Backstage. You can hear him this Saturday on MLS Season Pass, Apple TV, where you can find Nashville SC and Orlando City this Saturday night. Chris, we really appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Will. Thanks, Jalil. Have a good one, guys.
So that does it for a brand new edition of NSC Backstage right here on 104.5 The Zone. Special thanks to Chris Whittingham and Jack Mayer for giving us a couple of minutes. If you missed any of those conversations, or if you miss any of our show each and every Wednesday night right here on The Zone, you can find them on the NSC Backstage podcast page. That's on Apple Podcasts. It's on Spotify as well as 1045thezone.com. This Saturday, the Boys in Gold are back on the road. It's Nashville SC at Orlando City, back where Nashville fell out of the U.S. Open Cup 1 year ago. A big rivalry match with pregame coverage beginning at 6 p.m. Kickoff at 6:30. You can hear it on the 1045 The Zone app Saturday in the Sunshine State.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Sent me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.